Hi, I'm Darren Peppard. Welcome to the Leaning Into Leadership podcast, the podcast dedicated to today's hardworking leader. Join me every Sunday for leadership insight, inspiration, and a little pep talk to keep you rolling down your road to awesome.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into episode 129 of the Leaning Into Leadership podcast. This week, I've got something special for you. So we're in March, and this is the time of year that if you're looking for another gig, if you're looking to take the leap to the next position, if you are an aspiring leader, even if you're an aspiring teacher, you're preparing to sit down in the hot seat and take on that interview. But what are the things that you should really focus on doing? And for that matter, what are the things you should absolutely avoid when you're the one sitting in the hot seat? Well, in this particular episode, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. I work together with my buddy Brian Miller from the Shirts and Ties podcast, and he and I together collaborated on this episode that we're actually releasing the exact same audio on both platforms. So that's the Shirts and Ties podcast, folks. It is linked in the show notes. If you haven't checked it out, you really should. But Brian and I sat down and talked about those do's and don'ts, the things that we have experienced as the interviewers, and some things to be mindful of for interviewees. This is a really great episode. It's actually a lot of fun. We thought it was going to go maybe 20 minutes. It ended up going a lot longer than that. But Brian and I had so much fun talking this through. Actually, we share a few really funny stories from interviews that we have sat in on. That's primarily in the what not to do section of this podcast. But honestly, again, it's a lot of fun, and I think it's an episode you'll really enjoy. And I think there's a ton of value here for anybody who's potentially heading into an interview or is going to be sitting around that table as one of the interview team members as you're looking to hire going forward. You're going to love this episode, folks. Can't wait for you to check it out, and you're going to get it all right on the other side of this. Are you a school or district leader looking to unlock the full potential of your team? Do you dream of a cohesive, empowered staff all marching to the same beat? Well, then look no further. Introducing the ultimate solutions, high-performance leadership teams from Road to Awesome, our two-day leadership retreat designed exclusively for school and district leaders like you. And picture this, a tranquil setting, away from the hustle and bustle, away from the email, away from the phone calls and the constant interruptions. Over the course of two transformative days, you and your fellow leaders strategize, collaborate, and align your visions. You dive deep into discussions, workshops, and team-building activities all geared towards one common goal, unleashing the collective power of your leadership team. But this isn't just any retreat. It's a dynamic, hands-on experience crafted by experts in education and leadership development. You'll walk away with practical tools, actionable strategies, and a renewed sense of purpose to tackle any challenge that comes your way. Imagine the impact of having your entire leadership team on the same page, working effectively and efficiently towards a shared vision. With our retreat, that dream becomes a reality. So if you're ready to revolutionize your leadership approach, inspire your team, and drive real results in your school, don't miss out on this opportunity. Reach out now to start planning your two-day leadership retreat and take the first steps towards transforming your school for the better. Visit roadtoawesome.net or email me at darren@roadtoawesome.net to set up a free consultation and launch your team into a successful year. Your journey towards exceptional leadership, your journey on the road to awesome, starts right here.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get on to the episode.
Hey, welcome to Shirts and Ties, a podcast about education and culture. We're going to do things a little bit different today. Mr. Shirts is at a conference and out of town, so We have Mr. Darren Peppard from Road to Awesome with us. Good morning, Darren.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, buddy, I'm doing really well. I'm excited to kick off this collaborative episode of both Shirts and Ties and the Leaning Into Leadership podcast. Certainly a lot of fun. I've got my coffee. It's, man, you know, this time change. I don't know, Brian. I don't know if Montana is still, you know, in that same category like Nebraska, where we still do this stupid time change. But, yeah. Dude, it's kicking my butt. So I've got a cup of coffee. I'm ready to record, man. This is going to be great.
Good. On Sunday morning, we had a good kind of conversation with my kiddos because none of us remembered that it was a time change, except that your phone does it automatically, right? And so then your other clocks throughout the house, they're off a little bit. And my wife and I were laughing that the good old days when on a Sunday morning of time change, you'd go to church or something and you'd see maybe one or two cars in the parking lot and you'd realize you're like me, you forgot to change your clock.
Right.
So nobody has it anymore because our phones do it for us. But I'm tanked. And I saw you did a conversation with some buddies on March Madness and the craziness of March in education. We're exhausted, but we're super excited.
Definitely.
All right. So you and I have been chatting, and March is also a season of interviews. A lot of people kind of either in their district moving around or trying to move to a different district or even try and move up in their district, whatever the case may be. It's interview time. And do you remember last time you and I tried to record? Do you remember how much chaos we experienced?
We really did. Yeah, I hope you didn't just jinx us by bringing that up.
I know.
We really did.
I can only anticipate that this can be more smooth. So you and I have been chatting, and I thought, let's get together and let's just kind of share some experiences of either being in the interview chair, right, and kind of having to go through a lot of different people throughout the day and through the years, but then also being in the interview chair, being interviewed, and trying to sell ourselves and trying to sell that we're quality and that we are the ones that you want to hire. So we chatted about, let's maybe go over a few pitfalls of, hey, just avoid these really quick. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but just avoid these simple little things. And then maybe a handful of, when you walk into an interview, have this at the forefront, have this written down. You need to do this. How does that sound?
Yeah, I think that's perfect. You know, as you and I were talking last night about, you know, kind of getting prepared for this episode, it did, I guess, take me back a little bit, you know, with the number of years that I spent as, you know, an AP, a principal, a superintendent. I certainly did a lot of interviews and certainly I've had my fair share of time sitting in the hot seat as well. But I found myself reflecting on a handful of those interviews that were just absolute train wrecks, right? And I think the, you know, don't do this. When you bring that up, Brian, it makes me think of a handful of those interviews where they're so bad that you want more than anything to just text a few people around the table and just like, you know, how do we get out of this? You know, this is just so bad.
Can I start over?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. You know, you know, you almost
can you give me one example of a moment that when you think of old interviews that you're like, oh, this moment was so embarrassing.
So I recall it was a teacher interview. I don't remember the position we were hiring for, but I know it was a teacher position. And I know that I want to say it was math. It could have been an English position, but we were going to be having this person co-teach. And so I had my special ed department head as part of the interview team. And it's her reaction that I remember so vividly. The interview was poor. Just, you know, one of those interviews that you're sitting in and boy, you just know about 5 minutes in, there's just no chance that this is going to be a match. But you maintain as much professional decorum as you can. And, you know, hey, you know, everything is good. And, but we get to the end, right? And I know we'll talk about this eventually in a much more positive way. But when you're asked that question, when you're the one in the hot seat and we ask as the interviewers, hey, what are questions you have for us? So, Brian, there's an absolute do not as your first question, right? And it's in your head right now. But this guy went there, and he went there in just the worst possible way. And the reaction my special ed department had was unreal. The question, by the way, folks, is how much you gonna pay me? That's where he went on question one. And her reaction was just like, I gotta grab a pen. Her pen was in her hand, and it just was. She slams her pen down and sits back in her chair, and it's like, okay, well, there you go, sir. There's our answer. It was brutal. And, you know, it just, you know, on reflection, this is probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago. It's funny, but man, there are things you can do in an interview to set yourself apart in positive ways. And that's what we're going to focus on today. But boy, there are some things you can do to set yourself apart, not in a positive light. And that's definitely one of those. Don't ask right away, how much are you going to pay me?
Yeah. Or even like the way you
can I have two weeks off, you know, I mean, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think obviously we all need to get paid. We all need to make our bills. So I think the question is a valid one. To your point, it's not your first question out of the gate, and it's how you ask it, right? So after you've kind of maybe asked two or three different questions, you might want to say, and how much does this position make hourly, or how much does it make a year, something like that? I'm assuming most people walking into an interview, you should know that, or you could know that, but to clarify it would be all right. Okay, what's another? I have three, and they're real simple, but what's another pitfall that you think we should avoid?
Let's do one of yours. Let's hear one of yours, and I'll come up with another one.
I have three, and one of them is, remember, you have one interview. Those sitting in the other seats have multiple that they need to sit through throughout the day. And so I hear pretty consistently, and then when I'm sitting in the other side of the table, the stories that go on forever, or the answer that goes on forever. And it's just, you know, if I'm looking at my clock, or I'm, you know, we have to get through these questions, or you've spent 5 minutes on this question, especially if you're later in the day, unfortunately, that's either a positive or a negative.
Right.
They've been there for a while. They need a coffee. They need to go to the bathroom. They've asked the same question 5 times. It's okay to be lengthy on maybe one or two, but for the most part, just give them a quick hook that they can hang an answer onto and then move on. It's almost better. Would you agree that it's almost better to be too short than too long?
I would. Yes. And I actually really like how you said that, Brian. I think it's okay to go long on one or two, not really long, but just a bit over the threshold. I actually used to, on our interview questions, because we ran into this, we started putting the, you know, like in parentheses, 3 to 5 minutes, like behind the question. You know, you give them a copy of the questions and that kind of thing, but that way to kind of frame it for them. But I think if you can just be real succinct, right to the point, you know, if you're prepared, you should be able to answer questions in a reasonable amount of time and not just ramble.
Does rambling, I'm assuming the answer is yes. It comes across as they're searching for an answer. They don't really know.
Yep. Fake it till you make it. Don't do that in an interview.
Okay, good. That's one of my pitfalls. Do we just to go through mine, or do you have one you want to add?
Go ahead and go with one more. I do have one I want to add, but I want to hear one more from you first.
Okay. So I will talk about this as a positive, but every person going into an interview has weaknesses, right? And I think you can use that as a positive. And so I'm going to talk about that later. And one of the train wrecks that I was fortunate enough to sit in, and I wasn't being interviewed, but I was one of the interviewees or interviewers, is for some reason, and it was a nervous tick, right? But for some reason, they had a weakness and they kept highlighting it. And they kept highlighting it by saying something like, you know, I don't know. I've never been in a classroom, or I don't know. Like, I don't know. And they kind of kept bringing us back to this idea that they didn't know. And so sometimes that's just a nervousness if we are fully aware of this gap in our resume. But address it for sure. We have to address our weaknesses. We have to address where we're not perfect. But don't consistently remind us of it, because then that's the narrative. So hit it, move on, or hit it in a positive way and then move on. But don't spend too much time highlighting your weaknesses.
Yeah, I think that's 100% on point right there. I really do.
It's a simple one, but I'm sure you've noticed for some reason people tend to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't keep dragging us back to it. You know, I think that's a good one. Here, I'm gonna give you one, and it's similar but dissimilar. So if you are the interviewee and you're interviewing in a building or a district where you're a known commodity, don't assume everybody knows about you. I've had a handful of folks who've interviewed for a variety of positions, and man, don't just assume everybody knows everything about you. You should still go in prepared to share about who you are, about some of the work that you've accomplished, your leadership opportunities, whatever it might be. I interviewed a handful of potential assistant principals, and honestly, some other positions when I was a superintendent, where they were people from within our own district or within our own building, and they came to the table just honestly without the "I want to sell myself to you," because I really believe they just figured, well, everybody knows who I am, so I don't have to tell them those things. You need to bring that to the table. Don't assume people know you and about you simply because you've been in that system.
That's a really good point. I appreciate that. I've been in an interview before where the gentleman, I think he thought he had it. And I think he thought he had it because he knew everyone at the table, and he came across as blah, really just blah. Yeah. Like, not terrible, but just blah. And that's a really, really good point. So thank you.
Here's my last one. Just a little bit. Let me expand just a little bit on that one, because what you just said really kind of struck a chord. There was an interview that we were doing for, for a director position, and it was an internal candidate. And I mean, this was somebody who'd worked in the system for a while. And I think we were on the fence as to whether or not that could be the person, but they not only came to the table with just this assumption, everybody knows who I am, but completely without a plan. You know, if you're an internal candidate, you know what's good and what isn't good. You should come to the table with a plan. You should come in with, man, this is where we're going to go, and this is how I'm going to get us there. And man, you said blah. Holy cow. That's what happened here. This guy came completely blah and later wanted to ask me, why didn't I get the job? I'm like, dude, you came to the table with nothing. Yeah. You don't assume the work that you've done is enough to get you the position. You got to go earn it.
Yeah, in some ways, because you're in the district in a known commodity, there's a higher expectation that you can speak more directly to the vision,
100%.
More directly to where we're going and what you want to do, and not a pass. That's a good point. Thank you for that. Yeah. Okay, here's my last one. Don't speak negatively about other schools, principals, jobs, etc. It doesn't land well. Yeah. Like, you can address them, and I think if you do it in a protective way, like you can even kind of acknowledge it was, you know, I didn't have a good experience here. You can. We're all human, and I think as educators, we all know that there are difficulties. You can address them, but when you talk down upon or in a negative fashion, I think it never, never lands well. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. You know, man, I've sat in a handful of those interviews where, the candidate is just bagging on something. Maybe it's their previous administrator or... you know, they've, and we're going to talk about this, I'm certain, going forward here in the episode, but they've done their homework, but now they want to tell us why it's wrong. You know, the work that is being done in the district or a specific initiative or something where, they just really go really dark in the interview. Yeah. And, you know, don't air your dirty laundry in an interview. Yeah. Let's just say it that way. Because that's nobody wants to bring that kind of drama onto their team.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to invite that. So when you do that, that's a surefire, I won't get the job tactic in an interview.
If you're airing your laundry to a bunch of strangers, when you're trying to put your best foot forward, what are you going to do when you're in my building and you know everybody and you're around the water cooler?
100%. Yeah. Yeah. You are correct, man. Yeah. I think it's incredible that some of the things that people do in interviews that, and when you've sat in a bunch of them, like you and I have done, you're just like, you gotta be kidding me. So yeah,
I think
don't
a lot
do that
of it
one.
Is it's a nervousness, right? Like,
right.
People get nervous. And so, and when you're nervous, you kind of either speak before you think, or you kind of wander down these roads that weren't really prepared for, which actually, Darren, you saying that kind of leads me into my kind of number one to do. And so if you're okay, let's shift into like, man, here's some to do's. And it seems incredibly simple, but I have interviewed four positions. My wife at one point said, you're just addicted to interviews, because it seemed like every year, every couple of years, I'm interviewing for a new position. But it wasn't until later that I realized what is most helpful is to truly spend some time. You said preparation earlier, not preparation for the job necessarily, although that's important, you know, do some research on the job, on the school, on the district. Sure. But really spend some time thinking about what story do I want to tell about myself? Overarching story. If I walk in and I'm going to say, this is Brian Miller, what do I want that to be? And so really coming up with three or four of your favorite stories that, and they can be job related, they don't have to be job related, about you that is interacting with kids or solving a difficult problem, whatever it might be. And you write them down and you're doing almost research on yourself. Even if you ask a friend or a colleague or an old boss, hey, when we worked together, what's a story that stuck out to you about me? And you write those down, because that's, you want to say, when I walk out of this room, what's a word or two they're going to say about Brian Miller, right? He's a man that loves students and he will do everything for students. Great. I want that to be it. He thinks integrity is the most important. Okay. What are three or four stories that are going to highlight my integrity? Whatever it is that you want them to say, come up with some stories and write them down so that when you sit down, be it not all positions, but some positions give you the answers or the questions prior. Or even when you sit down and now you're really, really nervous. Yeah. And now you have three or four anchors that you can kind of go to. I wanted to talk about that story. I wanted to talk about that moment with that student. I wanted to talk about that engagement with that parent. And now you have those anchors to go to. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's so very good. And I love that you used the word anchor, because that was like right in my head was, you know, if you have those two or three anchor stories, those are those pieces, like you said, that can really deliver. This is who I am. This is what I'm really all about. Because so many of those interview questions are going to be pretty similar. Yeah. You'll every now and again, somebody will do something unique, which is kind of fun and kind of cool, but you want something that's going to help you stand out. And I would just expand on it just a shade with this. Don't tell that story for the first time at the table.
Yeah.
Tell your windshield like 100 times, rehearse that story. Don't come in sounding canned. That's not what I mean. But the more you've told the story, the more comfortable that story will be. So be well prepared to tell that story.
That goes back to our too long of an answer, right? So if you have two or three stories that you say, okay, when I have an opportunity to tell this story, that's going to be my little bit longer answer. But to your point of share it to the windshield, you can really condense a story and it's still a minute or two long and it's a fantastic story. You can have a fantastic story that goes 5 minutes and now you've lost me. So if you share it over and over and over again to your windshield, you've really kind of finalized it into a good draft. Keep going. Sorry.
Right. Yeah, no, that's perfect. That's great. That's great to expand on that. I mean, that's like public speaker 101. You know, tell great stories, but tell them in a very succinct manner, And boy, when you rehearse it, when you've gone through it, when you've got a lot of reps telling that story, it's just going to be great. The last thing I'll add on that, and then I'll throw one of my own in here, would be if you don't get to tell that story, when they get to the, what questions do you have for us? Or is there something you wish we would have asked? That's where you get that in there, yeah. You know, find a way, especially if it's like your number one anchor story and it has not come up, find a way to put it in there, because yeah. That again, like you said, Brian, what do you want them to remember about you? What are those couple of words that they want, that you want them to remember? Don't leave your anchor story in the bag. Make sure that it comes out. You want to make sure you get that
and
out.
You can even like say it, right? Like, I want to tell you this story because I feel like it highlights who I am and I want you to know who I am.
Absolutely.
Right.
I love
let me tell you this story.
Don't be afraid. Don't be bashful to say, hey, I really want to tell you this story. I think it's important and it'll tell you who I am. I love that so very much. So I want to go here. I think whether you're interviewing for a leadership role, maybe you're interviewing for your first teacher role or a new role as a teacher, a department head, something, really highlight and find ways to bring out those leadership opportunities that you've had. You know, it's one thing to talk about experience in the classroom, but I think there's also that what I'm looking for as the interviewer, regardless the role, I want to know that you're somebody who can step up and grow into a leadership role, whether I'm hiring you to be an assistant principal or I'm hiring you as a teacher. For me, I was always looking for leaders. And I mean, I fully believe that in the classroom, you're a leader, you know, on the court, you know, on the field, you know, or in, you know, some type of actual labeled leadership role, you're a leader. So identify, and this goes back to, you know, having those anchor stories, but what are some things you've done to take on leadership responsibility? And maybe that's, you've been part of a committee. Maybe that's, you know, you've, you know, been part of an interview team. I mean, whatever it might be.
And it can be non-educational too, right?
Yes, 100%. 100%, because that talks about you as the individual, yeah. Not necessarily about, you know, the specific role. I want to know that you're somebody who can be a leader on my campus and that I, you know, over time can help grow you as a leader and help you be that go-to person for some part of what we're doing. Because the bottom line is, you know, whether I'm, you know, leading a district or I'm leading a building, it's about the compelling vision that I have for the building, for the district. And I'm looking for people who are going to fit specific roles, not just whatever the title is. I need somebody who can come be a leader. So make sure you're really highlighting leadership experiences that you have had, leadership opportunities that you've taken advantage of. So go ahead.
I really like that.
You got a thought on that one.
Yeah, I like that a lot because you're interviewing. So I'm going to say, let's say you're interviewing for a middle school English position. You are in that seat interviewing for a middle school English position, but you are also interviewing for the building itself. And so when you talk about, here's the things that I can do, here's the leadership positions I have, me, the principal, you, the superintendent, we're looking at you and saying, yes, I want you to teach English to my kids, but what else can you offer us? What else can you bring to the table? And maybe you have an experience that, you know, you've sat in interviews before where somebody says something and like two people will like look across the table and eye each other up because they're both thinking the same thing. Like, we've been talking about that. We've been wanting to do that. Maybe this can be our person.
Yeah.
Right. So when you give yourself this holistic, I love that concept of, we're not asking you to become a principal or become a superintendent, but we are asking you to be a leader. And so how can you lead in our building in some capacity, whether it be an initiative or a project? I love that idea. So that's good. Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What do you got? You're up next, man.
Okay. This comes from a mutual friend of ours, Jeff Springer. So when I was interviewing for
shout
my
out
current
to Jeff
position,
Springer.
Yeah. Good dude. I was interviewing for this position, my North Middle School position. And I was kind of rustling through kind of all of what we're talking about, right? Like writing down stories. Who do I want to be? How do I want to do this? How do I set myself apart? Those kinds of things. And as I was honestly on the ledge and maybe walking back a little bit of some ideas that I had. I got a text from Jeff Springer the morning of, and all it said was, be full throttle Miller. And I was like, that's it. Okay, be full throttle you, right? So when you walk into an interview, I think there is this fear that we don't want to maybe rock the boat too much or be embarrassed or try and do something too innovative. But we almost want to walk. There's like this tendency to want to walk in the crowd of other interviews. And when I got that text from Jeff Springer, be full throttle you, I had an idea that I was about ready to cancel. And then I was like, nope, I'm going to do it. And that was, I played a walk-up song. I had two different rooms, one filled with district leaders, one filled with community leaders from my building. And I played Huey Lewis, Power of Love, as I walked into the room, just blasting it from this speaker. And I used it throughout the interview of like, I play music in the morning when I'm outside greeting kids. Anytime I start, like, music is a big part of who I am as a leader. Yeah. And so I used it throughout to kind of tell my story, but it was full throttle me. I'm going to do it differently. This is who I am. I have this statement. Tell me if you think about it. There are worse things than not getting the job. And one of them is get the job that you aren't ready for because they hired how you interviewed, but not who you are. Right?
Yeah.
You can get the job and it be miserable. So just walk in, be you, be full throttle you. If they love you, they'll take you. If they don't love you, then you weren't a good fit and you wouldn't want to be right. There anyways. What do you think?
Well, I agree with that 100%. I think too often, I like how you said that in there. Way too often, people will come in and just try to fit in the box that is the interview, right?
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, if you're doing the process correct as the leader, putting your interview team together, you should be talking about it. Like you kind of talked about that, you know, the people looking across the table at each other.
Yeah.
You should be talking about what are we really looking for? And I mean, sure, there's a lot of, you know, simple little things you can put in the box, but nobody's looking for somebody in the box, you know?
Yeah.
And the other thing I love about what you said there, Brian, is you're being authentic and you're being real. And nobody wants to be hired in a role where they can't go be themselves. And so, you know, you showing up with walk-up music was going to do one of two things. Either it was going to make you stand out. Well, it was going to make you stand out no matter what. But it was either going to make you stand out in a way where they're like, wow, this is the energy we need in our school. Or, yikes, it's not the dude we want. Either way, you're right. It's good. Because if you aren't going to be the right fit, that's the right time to learn about that. Don't learn about it 6 months into the job or a year into the job. Yeah. You know, you want to know, like, from the word go, from in the interview, this is not, you know, going to be a fit. And I think that'll take me to, this isn't where I was going to go, but I'm going to make this my next one. You hear it quite frequently, but I think in all seriousness, view your interview as a two-way street. This isn't just about, you know, are you a fit for them? You know, but are they a fit for you? You know, when you make a decision to take a different job, I mean, you're uprooting your life. Whether you're moving across the country or you're moving 40 feet down the hallway, like when I moved from being an assistant principal to principal in the same building. Either way, there's some uprooting that takes place there. So you really should approach an interview as, you know, this is a two-way street. This is, are we, you know, it's almost like a blind date. You know, are we going to continue this relationship or is this a one-time, hey, you know, nice to see you. Thanks for the cup of coffee or, well, actually probably a bottle of water and and I'm out, right? I just think that's really, really important. The last job interview that I sat in on or that I was in the hot seat. So as I was leaving my superintendency and jumping into this role, I flirted with one other position. I actually did. I interviewed for a high school principal job because I know you know this about me. I identify as a recovering high school principal and always will. And as I was leaving the superintendency, I toyed with that idea and I interviewed for one position. I was a finalist. I ultimately bowed out right at the very end. But I remember sitting in this interview wondering, you know, is this the place I want to be? And my decision not to move forward there had nothing to do with the community or this school. It was really the draw to what I'm doing now. You know, this is my opportunity. This is what I want to do. But it was interesting sitting in that interview and reflecting on, is this a good fit in both directions? And it takes me back to a quote that I want to share with you. When I was second year, I think, assistant principal, my alma mater, the high school that I had graduated from, the gentleman who was the principal there at the time, actually started his teaching career with my mom as a paraprofessional in his room. Wow. I had known him since I was a little kid. And he reached out to me and said, I'm going to have an assistant principal job open. I want you to apply. And here I am debating, you know, back and forth. Boy, do I apply? I mean, what do I do? I'm talking to my wife. I'm talking with my daughter. Man, do we want to move back to, you know, my hometown? What do we? And a principal in the district where I worked, I sat down and asked him a couple of questions. And he said, Darren, this is real simple. Stop overthinking this. There is no decision to be made until they offer you the job. So be willing to put yourself out there. Be willing to go ahead and apply, because until they offer you the job, this is just an opportunity to learn more about yourself. I love that you talked about how you seem to do a lot of interviews. It's a great opportunity to rediscover yourself, to learn more,
evaluate about yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And see what else is out there. So that's, I guess that was two for one right there. You know, don't live inside the box and make sure that you're willing to see that interview as a two-way street. I think it's huge.
Yeah. I want to talk about that for just a second, because I really appreciated that two-way street. Because what it made me think of is nobody wants to date the guy or the gal that is trying way too hard, right? Like if you are just overwhelmingly saying these very cliche, whatever things, this very, and all the flowers over and over again, like we like to be courted, but you're like, okay, holy cow, you're trying way too hard. This is not the real you. And so I think in some ways that when you walk in trying too hard, that's a put off. But when you kind of walk in with a confidence of, not an arrogance, but a confidence of, almost like, you know, I'm interviewing you too. Like, you guys need to put your best foot forward, because if you are not wowing me, I have a job, or I'll go someplace else, right? Like, you don't want to walk in with this, again, this arrogance. But I think when you walk in with a confidence of, I'm in control too, I have the ability to say no, that kind of relaxes you a little bit. And I think it makes you more attractive.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it makes me think, you know, right now I'm a huge NFL football fan, and right now we're kind of in the heart of free agency. It's just opening up, and, you know, some of those top players that are out there, they're not just looking for top dollar. They're also looking for, hey, does this team give me the best opportunity to win, or the best opportunity to be a starter, or whatever, right? So look at yourself, what you're saying, look at yourself as, hey, I'm a top free agent. You know, but if I go in like, oh my God, I just desperately need a job. You sense that when we're sitting in the other chairs, we sense that. Right. And it's a little off.
Yeah. It's off putting. Yep. Okay. Yeah. I have one more.
Okay.
And then you can share as many as you want, but I just kind of highlighted three.
Go for it.
And so this is kind of goes back to my earlier don'ts when I talked about weaknesses. I have a phrase in my life and that I use in presentations or just throughout life, which is be a llama. And so I love this concept of being a llama. And what I mean by that in an interview is, when you walk into an interview, you're going to have gaps. You're going to have weaknesses. Hiding them doesn't work. Presenting yourself as perfect doesn't work because we know you have skeletons. We know you have failures. We know you have things you got to work on. To me, a llama looks in the mirror and recognizes that it has nothing about it that is intimidating, scary, or anything. It's a goofy looking thing. It doesn't have a roar. It doesn't have claws. It doesn't have teeth. Yet llamas are put in charge of protecting flocks, not bears, not lions, right? Llamas protect against wolves, foxes, whatever. So there's this idea that you walk in. Here's where I'm not great. Here's where I have to learn. Here's the gap in my resume. But then you can quickly turn that into, however, here's what I'm great at. And I think that there's this awkwardness that we don't want to talk about ourselves. We don't want to praise ourselves. But that's exactly what you have to do in an interview, is you have to highlight who you are. If you just rest in, here's why I'm awesome, that's not great. But if you rest in or push more for, here's where I'm awesome, or here's my strengths and here's my gifts and talents, and here's how I've used them to bless my school, to bless my students, to bless my classrooms. That's attractive. People like that. And that's what they want to hear. They want to hear your gifts. They want to hear your talents. They want to hear you say, you know what, in my resume, you might see that there's a gap of experience. But I have found, and then you kind of fill it in a little bit with stories or with experiences that are like it, right? You can speak to them. You can address them. But really, it's okay to also just say, I'm a freaking badass. Let me tell you how I'm a badass. And let me tell you why I use my badassness to love on kids, to love my community, and to love my school.
Yeah. No, I think that's 100%. You need to own who you are. I mean, just like playing walk-up music, man, own who you are. Be your best authentic self. I think those things are huge. I've got a few, but I'm going to condense them down. So one thing that you just talked about that kind of sparked another thought in my head, when you have the opportunity to ask about the kids in the school, do it. You know, genuinely be interested in the kids in my school. I want to know that you are interested in our kids. You know, that to me just speaks volumes. At times I've had kids sit on interview teams. I think that's a real valuable tool depending on the age of your kids. Obviously I was a high school principal, so having, you know, a junior or a senior or something like sit on an interview team is a little bit easier than maybe having an elementary school kid. But I want to know that you're curious about our kids. I really do. So I think that's one that just kind of stood out.
I like that.
As you were talking, you know, just be curious about us. I think the more you can be curious in the interview, the better. I mean, what Brian is saying about you got to own yourself, do that. But I would add, be curious about the school. Do your homework, obviously. You know, we can tell when you haven't done your homework.
That goes back to your previous point too, of this is a two-way interview, right? Like,
yeah.
So show that by being curious about the students, about the staff, about the school. Ask good questions about the community. Yeah, I love that.
Right. Yeah. Ask about our vision. Where do we see our school going? And what are we trying to accomplish, right? I would tell you also, if you're not well-versed in educational trends, you're setting yourself back. No, you don't need to know them all. You don't need to go study 500 different things. But you should at least have a little bit of an idea of some of the trends in education. Now, what are some things that are currently happening right now? You know, whether that's...
And what are you doing about it?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And what are some things, that you've done in your classroom, in your assistant principal role, whatever it might be, you know, whether that's on, I don't know, standards-based grading or project-based learning or... whatever, right? I mean, there's 100 different things. AI, right? Yeah. I mean, what are you doing, and how have you helped to work on that? I would tell you just some things I look for when people are sitting in that hot seat. I want to know that you're a good communicator, and find a way to highlight that for me. Let me know how you communicate with people, whether that's communicating with parents, with your peers, with, you know, your immediate supervisor. I want to know what type of communicator you are. And some of the things that we've talked about through the course of this episode, like being succinct, you know, sharing the stories about yourself that are impactful, owning who you are. Those things are critical for me to know what kind of communicator you really are.
Yeah.
The other thing too is, you know, find a way to let me know that you're a problem solver. You know, I talk about this all the time when, you know, when I'm speaking, but you can show up as a thermometer or you can show up as a thermostat. Thermometers just, they just tell you the temperature. They don't do anything to solve it. Thermostats, see the problem, own the problem, fix the problem. So I want people on my team who I don't have to do everything for them. If I have to solve all of your problems, that takes me away from the work that I'm supposed to be doing. I want to know that you have initiative to try to help solve problems. So find a way to maybe highlight something that you have done. And this goes back maybe to what I talked about with, you know, with demonstrating your leadership, you know, opportunities. Yeah. But if you can share with me a way that you proactively try to solve problems, holy cow, I'm telling you right now, that's going to leap you to the top of the line for me. I don't want to have to carry your water. I want you to do that. That's why I'm hiring you.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. There, nobody wants a thermometer in their building that comes in.
You have a couple in your mind, don't you? I can tell by the look on your face, and people who are listening are like, oh, I know who the thermometers are in my building.
I just want you to know. And that's all they just tell me. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know that the building's on fire. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Do you have a bucket of water somewhere? Because
exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give one last thing that you've, one last idea, maybe. And then in the Shirts and Ties show, what we do is we end it with a takeaway. So, I'll give you some time to think about what's one takeaway from the episode. But I'm really big on, especially in this digital age, tangibleness, making things tangible. And how can you do that in an interview? I do think that's what stories do, right? They make you tangible. Outside of that actual space, they can visualize you in a classroom. They can visualize you in their building or in their district. So stories kind of give some tangibleness, but also like give them actually something tangible if possible. At times it can be, and this one's a little bit maybe cliche, but it still works. A real simple portfolio of sorts, or a page or two of just pictures, no words really, just pictures that you can just say, hey guys, as I'm doing the interview, I'm just going to pass these around. And it's pictures of you maybe with your family or doing stuff in your classrooms. But it's then, again, something tangible that they can see. This is what you look like as you're teaching. I've also seen people give like little figurines that like, for example, if you're going to say like a llama, right? You might just hand out, go spend $40 and you buy little llamas that you say, I'm going to leave this with you. And you just kind of, it's a tangible reminder that remember the llama guy is sitting on their desk. It just anchors them to you. And for me, even like, I'm not saying that you do this because it has to be your personality. But my song was a tangible thing. Like the next day, I haven't even been offered the job yet, but the next day I pull up at a district office for a meeting, a different meeting, because I got the job in the same district. And one of the guys that was in my interview pulls up next to me and he's blaring that song. And he just kind of looks at me and he turns the song up. Right. But now anytime somebody hears that song, they think of that interview. Right? It's a tangible thing that just connects people to you. Whatever that looks like for you, I don't know. Try and make something tangible in this very intangible interview.
I love that so much. I really do. I could even just like picture that, you know, somebody rolling up with a little Huey Lewis cranking up and looking right at you like, right there, man, right there. Yeah,
it was so fun.
You got me with this. Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
All right. Anything else you got, or do you want to wrap it up?
Oh man. You know, I think we're probably good there. I could probably throw another 10 or 12 things out there, but it would be going against what we talked about earlier with just be succinct. So no, sure. I think we're good right there. So I'm probably ready with my takeaway whenever you are.
Okay. Just really quick. I am going to put all these in some sort of document that I'll put a link in the show notes for anybody. If they want to look at it, download it, whatever it is. We'll just kind of put these in a tangible, succinct order. All right, Mr. Peppert, man, thanks for being on the show today. This really was fun.
Yeah,
I'm debating like canceling Casey and making this the Peppert Die show, but he'll probably be up. No, I miss my man,
oh,
Casey.
No,
but
no, no.
What is one takeaway from the episode?
Man, you know, honestly, there's a lot of episode takeaways here, without question. But you know, first and foremost, I will say this: you know, what you and Casey have created with Shirts and Ties is awesome, and this has been really a lot of fun. These collaborative episodes that drop on both platforms really are a lot of fun, and it's a unique way to really kind of cross our two audiences, so people have an opportunity. So if you're listening to this on the Leaning Into Leadership platform, make sure that you start listening to Shirts and Ties. If you're listening on Shirts and Ties, I would just ask, you know, hey, pop over to Leaning Into Leadership, check out a few of our episodes as well, and just add that to your podcast repertoire.
But not just Leaning Into Leadership. Check out Darren Peppard, Road to Awesome. There's a ton of resources there, a ton of good stuff there. You will not be disappointed. So good plug.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. There you go. Yeah. Shameless plug. Okay. So my takeaway from this episode, man, here's the thing. If you are getting ready to sit in the hot seat, it can be intimidating. There's a lot of things that go into being prepared to be in that seat, but be prepared to be in that seat. That will make such a difference. It comes across as very authentic. When you're prepared, you come across as very organized, you come across as a communicator, you come across as a problem solver, and you come across as somebody who potentially could be a great fit for the role that you're interviewing for. So the more prepared you are, the more authentic you're going to be. Brian, you talked a lot about just being your best authentic self. You can't do that if you're not prepared. So that would be my big takeaway is, there's a lot of stuff to do to get prepared. I'll tell this really quick story. When I interviewed for my principal role, folks had been in that building already 5 years. I had plenty of time. I knew the interview was coming. I wrote down questions on note cards of what I thought the questions would be for that interview. And then I jotted like some bullet points of here's how I would talk about it. I rehearsed it. I talked to my windshield a lot. I put those questions in order. Folks, when I got to the interview, not only did I have the questions right, I had the order right. I mean, I crushed that interview. I walked out of that interview and looked at the next guy getting ready to go in and looked at him like,
good luck.
I crushed that. But I was authentic, I was real, and I was myself. And it was because I was extremely well prepared. So that's my big takeaway, Brian. It's interview season, folks. Get prepared. Be ready, put your best self forward. And remember, there's no decision to be made until they offer you the job. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just putting your best self forward.
I like that. You mentioned a lot of things that really stuck out to me. You've mentioned the phrase, talk to the windshield. I'm going to steal that for sure. I love that concept. I do it all the time, but I'm going to steal the talk to the windshield. That's so crucial to just so many things, right? Even just if you're just walking through the day that you had, talk to the windshield. And by the time you get home, hopefully you've worked it out or you've at least found some a better way to express it to your loved one that it's not this 18, 20 minute story. It's now 5 minutes. So I love that. Yeah.
Well, and you know, in this day and age with, you know, with CarPlay and, you know, hands-free talking, you don't even have to worry that you drive by somebody and they think you're talking to yourself, if you are talking to yourself, right? I mean, everybody's talking on their phone when they're driving. So now it just looks like you're everybody else. So talk to the windshield, man. It's great.
I love that. But here's the one that I really, here's my big takeaway for myself, but also for anyone listening who's curious about a job. You said in your very first one was be the go-to person. I want to see that you're a go-to person. And you said something like they need to see that what you can do outside the classroom. But here's also what is the true reality of these interviews. And I'll tell it through a story. When I first walked into this district, I interviewed for the high school position. And I did pretty good. Like I thought I did fine. I didn't get that position. But my interview set me up for a different position in this district. And so sometimes when you go in and you kill an interview or you answer questions, although you're applying for, let's say, the middle school English position, you are also potentially applying for a position that you're not aware of. If you kill it and you are your authentic self, they may say, you're not a fit for this job, but we need that guy, that gal in our district. How can we get them in our district? So in some ways, relieve the pressure too of, like you said, there is no decision until they offer you the job. Well, they may say, the phone call may come and say, hey, we're going to go a different route on this one. However, there's a position coming up. Or however, please consider us in the future. Like, I know that we can kind of hear that candidly, but at times that is a very real truth. You're interviewing for multiple jobs that aren't even listed yet when you interview for a position.
Yeah. So no, I love that. That sparks more stories in my head and that kind of stuff, but I'm going to stay succinct and just leave it. Because as I look up, we're at like the 50-minute mark, so we were not succinct at all.
Not at all.
But
hey, brother, it was really good to hang out with you this morning. And no glitches. Yeah.
It's clean. Dude. It's a clean episode. You got to love this, right?
I love that. Thank you for joining us. Really appreciate your time. And yeah, go check out Road to Awesome, Darren Pepper. He's the man. So, all right, brother. It's March. Have a great day. We'll see you.
Right on. Wow. That episode is loaded with gold, folks. Absolutely loaded with gold. Again, I cannot thank Brian enough for coming and doing that collaborative effort. Anytime I have an opportunity to do these collaborative podcasts, whether it's with Brian Martin with Teaching Champions, Joshua Stamper with Aspire to Lead. By the way, Joshua and I will be doing one again here fairly soon. And then certainly this one with Brian from Shirts and Ties. It just, to me, brings a different and unique perspective. It also, I think for you as the listener, you get the opportunity to hear two different people that typically are the host of their show. And we find ourselves sometimes grappling a little bit. In this particular episode, though, I really felt like Brian and I just had a great flow for how we went about this truly organic conversation over a cup of coffee early in the morning. And truly loved it. Truly loved it. Hope you found the value in it that I believe that you will. And now it's time for a pep talk. So earlier this week, I was thinking about March Madness. Now, when this episode is dropping, it's actually Selection Sunday. This is the day when the men's and women's teams find out, did they make the big dance? Where will they be playing? Who do they have? What does their bracket look like? And all the rest of us start filling out our brackets to decide who's going to be crowned as the national champion in a handful of weeks. And actually, March Madness is descending on us right here in Omaha. We'll be hosting two rounds of the men's tournament here in downtown Omaha at the CHI Center. Kind of looking forward to that. It's going to be crazy. Not College World Series crazy, but it'll be crazy. But there's a different kind of March Madness in education, right? And you know what I'm talking about. It's all of those things, whether that's our standardized testing or it's like here comes spring break or just all kinds of other frenzies that are happening. You know, we've got hiring season, a budget season, and master scheduling season, and why we call everything a season, I don't know, but we do. In the pep talk today, I want to reflect a little bit on a blog post that I released earlier this week that is a principal's guide to March Madness. And in that particular blog post, I actually shared 13 tips. Initially, it was 12. I threw in a bonus one, but 13 different tips that leaders can lean into to help find your way through March Madness. And there's one in particular that I really want to stress. And then I'm going to throw a bonus in as well, just sticking with the theme. But the one I want to stress is actually the bonus from the blog post. And that's ramp up your visibility. You know, this time of year, your teachers really need to see you in the classroom. Your students really need to see you in the classroom. People need to see you in the hallways. Parents need to see you at the front door. There's so many things that can pull you in so many different directions right now, folks. Make it a priority to be visible. And that takes me to my bonus one, which actually was in the post as number three, which is emphasize prioritizing. You know, we want our teachers to prioritize power standards, those ones that are really going to make a difference. If you're going to go hard at the last minute before we're doing standardized testing, go at standards that are really going to matter, right? Really focus on specific lessons, specific classroom management strategies. But you, as the building leader, really emphasize that prioritization and do so
by prioritizing your visibility. Folks, it truly makes a difference. When you're visible, everything about the school can move in a much, much cleaner, more comfortable, much more efficient and effective manner. All right, that's what I got for you. Thank you so much for joining me this week on Leaning Into Leadership. Get out there and have a road to awesome week.
Thank you for listening to the Leaning Into Leadership podcast, brought to you by Road to Awesome. Don't forget, click subscribe, give a review, and share this with somebody who might also enjoy leaning into leadership.